Let's have a read of this fantastic little passage from Luke. Excellent. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. You know, back in 1223 in Italy, there was a man named Francis who had a mission to the people around him. And even though that was such a long, long time ago, his determined resolve on Christmas was to bring people's attention back to the baby in the manger. And you know why? Because even back then, Francis of Assisi thought that people had become distracted by gift giving and buying over Christmas. And so he was the first guy, the first person ever, in the name of mission, of reaching out to the world, to put together a manger scene. He was also, him and his band of brothers, they were also credited with the first Christmas carols. So they started singing, like we have today, about Jesus and this little baby. 1223, and people were distracted by Christmas. I wonder how much has changed. Perhaps a lot. Perhaps it's got a lot worse. I do love Christmas, but I am so pleased when the 26th of December gets here, because it's all over and I feel like I can finally sort of rest. And often it's then that I start thinking about this story that we've just celebrated. Maybe that's partly because I'm a pastor. It's a bit of a busy time of the year. But I don't know if, I wonder if I'm actually one who, because of the privilege of what I do, thinks more about this story over the Christmas season than most. And yet I still get to the 26th and think, what just happened? I wonder if the manger scene can call us back. Because, you know, Francis of Assisi, his agenda was to call people from gift-giving and receiving to worshipping the baby Jesus. and our earliest story of people's response to the baby Jesus was worship. Not just by the shepherds, of course, although they're wonderfully depicted here. I love this little painting of Caravaggio's. 1609, so Francis's agenda has become popular by now. And Caravaggio decided he would paint the Adoration of the Shepherds. I love this one because Mary looks like she's tired. Like, who are these strange visitors and why are they here? Yeah, it grounds it for me. You can't see it very well, or I can't see it. Maybe everyone else can see it well. I can't see it very well, but it's a very dark scene. There's cattle and an oxen and a donkey in the background there, but it's a very dirty, brown, ordinary kind of place. And indeed, that seems to be one of Luke's agendas as he starts to tell the story of God's work in our world through the person of Jesus. It's not for Luke, and this is not to discredit Matthew, but in Luke's telling of the story, he doesn't tell us of wise men with treasures that come from the ends of the earth. He tells us of shepherds working overnight, who have the most amazing, amazing experience. And it foreshadows everything that Jesus is trying to do, that God is trying to do in this little baby. As the angels appear, heaven's armies, as we have just read, appear to sing the glory of this child and at the same time direct the people in the direction, go to Bethlehem and see the sign that heaven and earth are coming together. That is a precious, precious sign for us, isn't it? Because that is the core of everything we believe. What did Jesus say when he began to preach around to all the people? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. John the Baptist said it before him. Jesus said it after him. And if you look carefully, you will find that the disciples, when they were sent out in Matthew chapter... I'm going to get this wrong. In Matthew, when they were sent out, go, tell the world that the kingdom of heaven is near. And your response to this reality? To turn around and join with the armies of heaven. You see, this manger scene as it's developed, and hear me well, the manger scene that you will walk past in whatever shopping centres still have manger scenes, it's a mishmash of stories. It's a pulling together of stories that the Bible tells us. The shepherds are there. Luke tells us this. The wise men end up there, of course. Matthew tells us this. The light of the world, Jesus, lies in that little manger. John tells us who this one is, the light of the world. I got another painting for you. I hope none of you are sick of my paintings. I know you get them every time. This is Rembrandt, The Adoration of the Shepherds. If you know anything about painting, or even, painting 101, lesson number one, they teach you to decide where the light is coming from so that you can get all the shadows in the right direction and a picture becomes three-dimensional. Have a careful look at this. I know it's a fuzzy, difficult painting to see. Where is the light coming from? Jesus, yes. So instead of putting the light, you know, off in the top corner so that all the shadows go in the right direction, what a powerful, powerful image. Don't get me wrong, I think it was probably more like the previous painting in reality. Yet, there is a truth that is trying to be depicted here, isn't there? Why do the shepherds gather? Because heaven's armies have told them to go and look for a sign from heaven, a little child wrapped and lying in a manger. This one is the light of the world. So I love this painting for its truth. I love the previous painting for its reality. The two aren't really opposing one another. In fact, all of heaven's armies are here to sing this child's praises so that we will see, so that the shepherds will see who this one is. Getting back to the reality of that first one, so to speak, I love this passage that we've just read and the incredible personal story that Luke seems to have tracked down in Mary. Every time I read that she stored these things up in her heart, I think there is no one on the planet who knows that except Mary. And here she is, hoping against hope. It hasn't started out like she expected. A child, well, she's pregnant before she's married. An angel revealing something to her that is going to happen. And now, of course, it's all happened in her mind in the wrong way, in the wrong place, with the wrong visitors. Yet here is heaven working. Here is the humility of heaven revealed to us anew. The Messiah of all the world, heralded by angels, yes, but turning up for us as a vulnerable little child in a dirty stall with none of the possessions that we might give to one another in celebration of this one coming. Maybe the best I can hope is that as you shop this season, you might see something of a glimpse of this manger scene. And it might remind you of the story that inspired it. And that indeed might change us. For this is one who has come into the world, as we have read, to save us. It will become more earthy and more ugly as this story unfolds. Jesus will grow. He will be surrounded by traitors. He will be beaten. He will be betrayed. He will be executed. And in even in all that ugliness that our world could provide, he will still save those who will turn to him. He will still call us to a completely different path, a path of humility, a path of grace, a path of trust. Not trust in all the things around us and how many of them we can gather, but trust in the work of God that might lead you in a completely different way to everything around you. I've currently got a favourite Christmas carol. We're not going to sing it today, much to my sorrow, but we are going to say it. And I pray that this can become a prayer for you and for this community as you enter into what we have come to call a silly season. Yet it calls you to so much that is so different, that is so radical, that is so edgy, that is so beautiful. Charles Wesley, of course, had exactly the same motive as Francis of Assisi. He was a missionary to the core. And so he wrote his songs that the church would know their story well enough to take it to the world. May the same be true of us. Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. As you have just prayed, as we have just prayed, may the eternal spirit of this child rule in our hearts, just as it did, perhaps in a fledgling and learning way, an unfolding way in the heart of Mary. May this story unfold in you again this Christmas. And may you see again the marvel of the character of God in this tiny little child. And as you do, may you always remember that this is not just a coming together of heaven and earth in this person, but it is a showing of the gracious and sacrificial character of God. Because essentially we're all born, but only one grew up to take on the sin of all of the world into himself, taking on the death we brought into the world as his own, and breaking that bond in his resurrection. So as we always do in communion, I would invite you to make the move to this table, to get up and do something in response to what Jesus has done. An act of acceptance again of this one for me. His body for my body. His blood for my redemption. Make this an act of acceptance, an act of remembrance, an act of resolve that this Christmas would not simply be another collecting of stuff, but that it would be, as Francis of Assisi and Charles Wesley insisted, an opportunity for you to worship the only one who is worthy of you. To worship well. Jesus, as we as a community gather around your table, may we remember this Christmas, all that this story really and truly is, that we might be a transformed people living your way and no other. In Jesus' name, amen.